Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the fifth day of May 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will be here from Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds in Windsor, Illinois, to take up the cash grain market. We'll discuss the last day and the final numbers from the Wheat Quality Council's annual Hard Red Winter Wheat Tour of Kansas, parts of Nebraska and Oklahoma. That with their Executive Vice President Ben Hancock. And as we close out our half hour together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with T-Storms. Mike Tenura, right here on Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
These are the way the numbers finished in Chicago. Futures for the May corn down a penny and a half today at $3.71 3/4. July 3 lower at $3.73 3/4. And December corn down 3 1/2 at $3.81 1/2. The March at $3.90 3/4 finished 3 lower. And the May of next year at $3.96 1/4 down 2 3/4. May soybeans 21 cents lower, $10.03 1/2. July at $10.12 1/4 down 21 3/4. September at 10.06 1/2, 17 1/2 lower. And November, $10.01 1/2 down 14 cents. January beans 13 1/2 lower at $10.03. Bean oil 19 cents lower at $32.01. And the bean meal for the day at $335 down $8. Wheat futures soft red. May contract down 7 1/2 at $4.53 on the spot. July at $4.63 1/4 down 8 cents. That's the harvest month. The hard red July at $4.52 3/4 down a nickel for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the nearby June contract at $119.57 1/2 per 100 pounds, $2.12 1/2 higher. The August at $117.40 up to 10. Feeder cattle in the May at $147.90 up $2.97 1/2, and the August at $147 1/2 up $3.42 1/2. Lean hogs for the day at $77.52 1/2. Up 15 cents on the afternoon in the May contract, June at $82.35. That's 52 1/2 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Do visit us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.ORG. There this afternoon after 5 o'clock, you'll be able to pick up and listen to Commodity Week before it ever airs on any of our radio stations. Should be a good program this week. We'll go through all the numbers.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Here's what some of the outside figures look like at this hour. Crude oil at $44.25 a barrel, up 47 cents. Ethanol is a half cent higher at $1.50 even. Gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price at $1.49, is 0.3 cents higher. And heating oil is a tenth of a cent lower at $1.32 6/10. Natural gas at $2.08 3/10 is down 5 8/10 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at this hour at 17,550 is down 33 points. The U.S. dollar at 93.78. That's up 0.598. And the gold futures at $1,276.50, up $2.10. Let's take a look at the weather forecast as it comes to us from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly clear this evening, a low of 44 degrees on a north wind at 5 to 9. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 77 degrees on a west wind at 5 to 9. And then Friday night, mostly clear with a low of 57 degrees. On Friday evening, west-southwest winds at 6 to 9. Saturday, a 50% chance of rainfall, some thunderstorms. Those will come after 1 in the afternoon. Partly sunny and a high of 77 degrees. Winds will be out of the west at 9 to 15, gusting to 21. That'll bring us more rainfall on Saturday evening. Before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy and 48 degrees. Northeast winds at 5 to 11, gusting to 15, a 30% chance. And then on Sunday, partly sunny skies at a high of 66 degrees, a northeast wind at 5 to 7. Monday, rain showers and cloudy, 73 degrees. And Tuesday, mostly cloudy and 74. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker is now here from Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Let's talk a little bit about what happened in Chicago today. Kind of an ugly day for the oil seeds in particular. Soybeans down 21 cents. This just some profit taking, or do you see more there in than just what's been happening in the last week or so?
Well, it's going to probably be a long liquidation. Now, soybeans did have a bubble up in open interest. We'll see what happened here today. But my guess is that we probably saw some liquidation in the bean complex. I think a lot of it is for the time being, I think the trade has priced in what it believes to be a damage factor, you know, in the Argentine beans, the Brazilian beans, overall world supply of soybeans. Now, I think you probably need some confirmation, and that may take a while to get some confirmation from, you know, USDA crop estimates and other crop estimates. But I think it's pretty well priced in what damage has occurred in South America. It has tightened up the balance sheet. But the thing about the balance sheet, we're talking about whether or not this current rally in new crop beans have bought additional acres or put additional acres in soybeans or a meaningful switch. I do believe that there was some switching. The big question is it a meaningful switch? It's not late enough in the season to force people into soybeans, being only here the 5th of May. So that's going to be the big question of how tight next year's balance sheet is going to be due to the shortness of the South American crop this current year. Also, the run-up that we had in both corn and soybeans, that gave farmers an opportunity to unload a lot of old crop inventory. And I think for the most part, domestic end users have been able to extend their coverage almost to take them through the summer until new crop harvest. Now, there may be some that didn't quite get all that way, but I think soybeans, farmers started selling soybeans back when they first went over $9, and they were pretty much steady sellers. So I think your soybean processors are pretty well booked up through August. I think they're probably, their grain buyers are probably on vacation. I think the run-up that we saw in corn, I think a lot of your ethanol plants and processing plants on corn probably, you know, was able to extend their needs, you know, maybe up through the end of July, maybe even into August a little bit. And, of course, you know, by the time August comes around, you end up with some new crop harvest corn coming up, you know, to town. So I think the domestic end user of corn and soybeans have been able to buy enough inventory to kind of keep them satisfied. Now, the exporters, they probably have got a lot of their beans bought, but probably a lot of them are still sitting in country elevators. And now the function of that is for that grain to move to the exporter, where the country elevator won't be able to hedge in any carrying charges. So he'll move that on into the end user, the processor, or whoever wants to use that. So that's kind of where we're at, I think, on the old crop. New crop, yes, I think, you know, we've got slowed down a little bit over the past few days. We've had just enough rain here and there to kind of keep everybody out, but it's still very early. and the trade generally views planning so far as generally favorable toward reaching at least trend line type yields. But, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out over time. But at least for now, I think that's kind of where the trade's at. The other thing is the dollar did go down in met at least the first downside objective by punching out that August 15 low earlier this week. And I think that's what a lot of technicians were looking at. And now you're what you've seen the last few days, and the dollar is short covering. And the question is how much push upward does this rally have? I think it's more of a technical correction in a long-term bear market for the dollar, but it wouldn't surprise me that the dollar would maybe have a rally through May, but some of my cyclical work still has it moving lower as we go on into June, July. So I think, but at least for the time being here, the dollar has been able to show some strength, and then that has kind of weighed on over into the commodity complex that was receiving at least some support from the weakness of the dollar that we've experienced over the past several months.
Is there any reason to be concerned about the outside down day in the November soybeans today?
Well, yeah, I think when you look at the statistics, and soybeans very often can make May highs. Now, June is the biggest month for November beans to make a calendar year high. I think probably half of your soybean highs, November soybean highs, are made during the month of June. But beans very often, it's not uncommon to have a May high in soybeans. Now, the key here is, did we buy, how many acres did we buy? If we didn't buy enough acres, then that soybean market could come back to life again after the June 30th report. And, of course, that will depend upon what late summer weather is. But, I think both corn and soybeans kind of have had made their late April, early May high. And the month of May now, I think, is kind of more of a consolidation, more of a correctional type month. And then come June 1 or thereabouts, you know, the trade will look around and see whether or not the crop got planted timely, whether or not we got any problems, and you know, what kind of weather forecasts are there going into the month of June, and then kind of decide whether or not the market needs to go back up again, or if it just needs to kind of grind its way lower as you go through the growing season. So I think for now, the market is you know, the end users have got their needs covered. Now it's pretty much, you know, if we're going to find a lot of strength, we're going to have to probably have some kind of U.S. weather problem begin to come into the marketplace.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We'll talk with you for Commodity Week this afternoon in about, I don't know, 25 to 40 minutes or so.
Very well.
Thanks so much. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, and he will join us on Commodity Week along with Chip Nellinger today. And Dale Durkel should be a fantastic show. We'll get that posted to the website this afternoon by about 5 o'clock. You can listen to it anytime you'd like after that on demand at WILLAG.org. And, of course, it will air right here on our radio stations tomorrow afternoon, and then again on the weekend on many of these stations. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. We're now joined by the Executive Vice President of the Wheat Quality Council, Ben Hancock. He is in Kansas, and the council has been organizing for a very long time now a tour of the hard red winter wheat growing regions, not only of Kansas, but of some neighboring states as well. Mr. Hancock, thanks for being with us. I appreciate you being here. I understand this is your 25th and final year of organizing this event.
Well, that's great. This is the last winter wheat tour. I still got to do a the Arch Spring Tour in the end of July, and then next February I'm officially completely done.
Yeah, what's the best thing about putting tours together?
Meeting all the people. It's incredible who you meet on these things. I mean, it's just, they come from all over the world. And they didn't used to. You know, when I first started 25 years ago, we had maybe 30 people. Now we get, sometimes we get close to 100.
And how many participants did you have this year as scouts?
We had 82 this year.
And how many stops did they make in total?
655.
In just Kansas, parts of Oklahoma, Nebraska, right? Or did they travel into Colorado as well?
No, we didn't count Colorado. They came to give us a report, but we don't count the stops.
So what did you find for this year's wheat crop?
Well, we found a very good wheat crop. It's, I don't know if it's the best whatever, but it's up there among them. It's, for the three-day total, our calculated yield with the yardstick and the formula is 48.6 bushel, which is really good.
That would be on par, if it is, it would be the best crop, I think, since 1998 and the best crop ever, right?
Well, you're probably right. I don't have those figures in front of me. I just got a sheet that gives me about 6 years on it. Yeah, it's a very nice wheat crop. You know, it has a few issues with stripe rust, but if you saw the airplanes flying the last 3 days, you would think they've taken care of that as good as they can, you know. So I think they're going to be pretty pleased with this crop, you know, still 4 to 6 weeks to harvest, and a lot of things can happen, but boy, right now it looks pretty good.
When this crop came out of dormancy, did you think that it would be this good by the time we got here, or were you concerned that it came out so early?
Well, I think everybody was concerned that it came out so early. We had freezes, you know, and everybody was talking about freeze damage, but we couldn't find freeze damage, at least nothing serious enough to talk about. I don't think it made any difference. The thing that saved the wheat crop was the rain here finally. And when it started raining, it rained just about every place. And that wheat is it's got nine lives and has a remarkable ability to recover, and it did.
Tell me about the Wheat Quality Council. What is it that your organization does?
Well, we test all the new upcoming wheat varieties. The wheat breeders send us everything that they're going to think they might release in the next year or two, and we actually mill them into flour and send that flour out to bakers and milling labs and have them bake bread to see if what the quality of it really is. And then we have an annual meeting in February where we go over all these results, both the hard winter, hard spring, and in fact the eastern soft wheats. And this is the only way we can try to control, you know, what's being released in this country. It's a free country, and you can release anything you want to. But if the council says it's a barking dog, the chances are they're probably not going to release it because they won't sell much seed.
And so your job is to try to find wheat varieties that meet the specs of the end users and to balance those so that what producers are raising in their fields are varieties that end users would like to mill into products.
That's correct. And, you know, we're totally relying on the wheat breeders to get all of this done, to breed the kind of varieties that we think are going to work for the milling and baking industry. But the first thing it has to do is yield, or the farmer won't plant it no matter what the quality is. So they concentrate heavily on yield, but they also try to breed that quality into them that'll work for the baking companies and the export companies, or, you know, pretty soon you're not going to be able to sell the stuff.
How has the Kansas wheat industry changed over your 25 years?
There's a lot less of it. you know, when I first started 25 years ago, it was almost all wheat. You could stop anywhere and see a wheat field. But in the last 15 years, it's become just about like every other state that grows wheat. It's become a lot of corn and beans and sunflowers and it's there's still a lot of wheat here, but even, you know, it's even down, they're down 700,000 bushels from a year ago, acres, 700,000 acres from 1 year ago. So we're losing acres rapidly, and the reason we're losing them is we can't compete with the corn and beans. You just lose less money on corn, I think. So at least that's what the farmers tell me, that, you know, they would plant the wheat if they could, if they could make some money on it, but it's difficult. It really is, and it's, at some point we got to come out with some GMO wheat that has some characteristics that are better for consumers, or they to yield a lot higher or something, or we're going to continue to lose wheat acreage in my book.
The industry has resisted GMO wheat.
Well, I understand that. And they also they don't resist Coca-Cola, and it's almost, I bet every bit of it's made with the GMO corn.
Ben, thank you so much for taking the time with us today, and congratulations on your 25 years and your final Kansas Wheat Tour.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Ben Hancock is the Executive Vice President of the Wheat Quality Council and organizer of the Kansas Hard Red Winter Wheat Tour. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, now joins us to talk about the cash grain situation. Thanks, Matt, for being with us. Have you been back in the field since last week?
No, we're way too wet yet. We're not probably going to be able to get in the field till sometime over the weekend. It might be Monday if it doesn't rain.
You know, if it doesn't rain, but it's likely to at some point very soon. Any concerns on your part about this?
Oh, I don't know. To me, I'm a little bit concerned that, if the forecast verifies, that we could be looking at it could take another couple, 3 weeks to be able to get back in the field. So I'm a little concerned with that, but we've got all our corn in, so we're not too awful worried about it, considering we only have beans left.
Right. Speaking of beans, it was a tough day in Chicago for the soybeans.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we've had a lot of great days lately. I think the thing that jumps out to me that's a little bit concerning is, we had phenomenal export data for this time of year for the soybean market, and then to close lower on data like that, to me, tells me that maybe there's a little bit of exhaustion there with this rally that we've had. And, I'm still of the opinion that we need to be looking at prices such as these as a great opportunity and not get terribly scared about selling $1.50 higher than what we could have a couple months ago.
I'm going to ask you something only because you used the word exhaustion. When we're in the midst of a downturn after we've been really moving things higher, we will get exhaustion gaps from time to time. Do you think that there's something in the next day or two that might really gap this market lower?
Yeah, I think there's always that possibility. I know a lot of guys have been talking, trying to pick tops, trying to figure this thing out. I think as a producer, the number one thing I'd like to impress upon my guys is that, it's impossible to figure this soybean market out. We've seen what we thought was reversals, tops a couple, three times, and then we come back in and take the market 30 cents higher. So I'm not going to try to pick a top out anytime soon, but I definitely want to be selling profits. So, to me, the soybean market seems shaky to close lower on data like this, but I've been fooled 10 times by this market, so I don't want to make any bold predictions.
All right. Any final word before I let you go?
Nope. Just good luck to everyone. Hopefully people get back in the field in the next few days.
You bet. Thanks so much, Matt.
Yep, thank you.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. He joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. When we come back, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenura. He's from T-Storm in Chicago, Illinois. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
It's National Hoagie Day. The hoagie was originally created in Philadelphia on Hog Island, home to a shipyard during World War I. Italian immigrants working there would bring giant sandwiches made with cold cuts, spices, oil, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and peppers for their lunches. By the way, depending where you live, the hoagie goes by lots of names, including the submarine, hero, grinder, dogwood, zeppelin, and poor boy. On this day in agricultural history in 1865, Nellie Bly was born. In 1889, Bly successfully completed an attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days. Bly was a U.S. newspaper reporter and completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. Later in life, she took over her husband's dyeing industries and introduced the steel barrel to the distilling process in America. In 1936, a patent was granted for the first bottle with a screw cap to Edward Ravenscroft of Glencoe, Illinois. In 1904, USDA announced it was considering banning importation of horses from France after an investigation determined that a disease outbreak in Iowa was traced to French horse imports. And in 2006, the Agricultural Research Services announced the development of two new machines to improve cotton lint cleaning. The new machines increased bale weight by 8 to 10 pounds by retaining more good fiber than standard lint cleaners. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenura is here. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Thanks for being with us, Mike.
You're welcome, Todd.
Tell me about weather here in the United States. Farmers would like to get back in the field. Will that be possible?
Well, it certainly will be possible, especially the further west you go from Illinois. Temperatures have been quite a bit warmer in the plains and in the western Corn Belt over the last day or two. So conditions are improving there the most quickly for planting. The only caveat out in the west is that it was quite a bit wetter than it was in parts of Illinois. If you look at eastern Nebraska and far western Iowa, as well as adjacent areas of South Dakota, Minnesota, Missouri, and Kansas, this entire region here, essentially stretching from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, to about Kansas City, has been pretty wet over the last 1 to 2 weeks. So even though it's dry and warm now, we still think they probably need to dry out a little bit more to get planters really rolling there. Now, the one concern that we have is what happens this weekend and really more so next week. As we get into the weekend here, Saturday and Sunday, we'll see temperatures initially start out pretty mild, but then things will start to cool down as a cool front drops onto the south. A few thunderstorms will pop up along this front, especially along and south of Interstate 80. We're not looking for widespread and heavy rainfall at that time, but just a few thunderstorms here and there, kind of making things not necessarily perfect for anybody who wants to plant in the Corn Belt. But the bigger concern follows. Once we move into Saturday, Sunday, and really more so early next week, all of our attention will turn to a big system that develops in the western United States. This system crawls through the plains and through the Corn Belt from about Sunday through Thursday of next week, and as it moves through, it will develop areas of rain and thunderstorms. We're generally looking for widespread rainfall of around 3/4 of an inch to 1.5 inches, with the highest totals pretty much along and south of Interstate 80 once again.
And then turn your attention to South America. We've been dealing with some issues, particularly in Brazil.
We have. There is some interesting features taking place in Brazil. It's been very dry across the northern 50 to 60% of the winter corn production region. We would say a severe drought is in place across this area. It's focused right on Goiás and into eastern Mato Grosso and adjacent areas. There's basically no rain coming up for this region for the next 2 weeks. So there's going to be crop losses there. It's just a matter of how much. It's a really difficult question to answer, but it's very unlikely that they're going to escape this problem. It just looks pretty severe from a rainfall standpoint, also for how warm it's been from late March through the end of April, and going forward, high temperatures around 90 every day. So dry, 90 degrees, it's been dry. This is not a good situation. If you head to the south, though, the southern third of the winter Corn Belt looks quite a bit wetter, and you could argue they might get a little bit too much of a good thing as far as rainfall over the next week or so. A widespread rainfall of 2 to 4 inches, or maybe even 5 inches, That's about as much rain as they normally see in the month of May, and that'll happen in a one-week period.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, helps us wrap up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.